Welcome to the first episode of the second season of I Don't Want to See That with
Carrie
and Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Carrie, you know, I was looking and our last episode was...
Don't say it.
2 months ago.
Oh,
and
no.
I distinctly remember that our first episode of calendar year 2020, you said...
Calendar as part of a new 2020? Year's... You mean Shut calendar up. Year 20?
As a New Year's resolution, you wanted to do more episodes. Ugh. And then I guess what happened is, like, after the second month, as it is with like gym memberships, we fell off. What happened?
Well, COVID happened, first of all.
Okay, but COVID has happened. And I think we talked about that in our last episode.
We did, but
because that's why we watched Contagion, was because of COVID.
But we did, but I also had a very, very long recovery after I had COVID because I got bronchitis again. And so that was like kind of the first thing that happened. And I was coughing for a very long time. So spared everyone that situation. You're welcome. Second of all, we have some personal, both of us, which is really exciting. Kevin, I don't know if you want to start with yours and then
we got new jobs guys
in our
actual lives,
yeah,
professional lives,
the both of us, which was even more exciting, I think, because we did it kind of together. We were like I was like two weeks behind you, Kevin.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, again, dear listener, apologies for being absent, but
we used this as an opportunity. We used the having to get used to our new jobs for the last month as an opportunity to take a little break.
Yes.
And we said we'd come back and we would pretend that this would be just season two.
We're not pretending. This is
season two. I mean, yes. But we had...
There's
we
no pretending about
it.
This.
We hadn't planned on it being season two. Like, it wasn't our we weren't thinking like Contagion will be the final episode of our season one and we'll take a breather. We did Contagion, and then I think that was the week before I got the job offer.
Yeah.
And then I got the job offer and then I took it. And then after I had gotten started, you were in the process of potentially getting the offer, which you did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations again.
Congratulations to you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank and then I had just the busiest time, like wrapping up my old job. And I took a week off, but it was basically the week from hell. So like, it just didn't pan out for me there. But I think, you know, we're both now, you know, a few weeks/a month into our jobs. And we're like, hey, let's do it. Let's start it up again. So can I like re-up my New Year's resolution? Can I say like,
I mean, you can, but who knows where these jobs are going to take us?
Well, I know for sure that we're going to try to do at least like 10 episodes for this season. So however long that takes us, who knows, but
could be 10 weeks, could be 10 months.
You know, we're going to keep our listeners on our toes.
We're going to keep the listeners on our toes.
On their toes. On their toes.
All right.
I'm tired. I'm sorry.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you're tired before we go see the movie that we're going to go see.
I'm sure it'll only spell out great things for the movie experience. So, Kevin, I was going to say, you can say it. Yeah. What movie are we going to go see?
We were kicking off season two.
With a good one. A doozy, if you will.
I hope it's a great one, and that I hope it's not a bad one, but it kind of looks like it's going to be bad, or I've heard that it's going to be bad. We're seeing Morbius with Jared Leto.
Oh, I'm conflicted about this one. I really am. Like,
I was too. And hear me out, Carrie, because Morbius, for those listeners who are unaware, is a Marvel Comics property, but it's within the realm of Spider-Man. So it's a character, it's an IP, an intellectual property that is owned by, it's owned by Sony, right? Sony owns Spider-Man specifically, and they share Spider-Man, the character, with Disney, Marvel, Studios, the MCU. So there's that background. And obviously, Tom Holland's Spider-Man has been a huge success for both parties. And Sony is trying to do their own Spider-Verse thing, where they've already come out with two Venom movies. That's a villain who I guess is an anti-hero in those movies. And now we're getting Dr. Michael Morbius in the film Morbius. And what intrigued me about this film initially, and I didn't see the first Venom in theaters. I watched it at home. Wasn't that great, but apparently the love for it from fans was enough that they greenlit a sequel that I wanted to see last year. Didn't make it out to the theater to see, but I heard that the end credits of, or the post-credit scenes rather, of that movie kind of tie into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and Tom Holland Spider-Man. And you and I went and saw Spider-Man No Way Home, where it kind of illuminated how that whole thing, the movies connect.
Right.
Now, when
in the MCU,
in Marvel Cinematic Universe, because again, the Spider-Man characters are technically Sony property.
Right.
So when the trailer came out for Morbius, and this was a while back because of COVID, it kept getting delayed and pushed back. But when the trailer came out for Morbius, I remember being intrigued because during the trailer sequence, there's like one part where you see Dr. Morbius walking along a street and there's like a poster or something behind him that references Spider-Man.
Right.
He's looking at a newspaper, front page newspaper article, or the front page rather, of the Daily Bugle, which is the paper that Peter Parker would take pictures of Spider-Man for in the comics. And then really interestingly enough, you get a snippet of Michael Keaton, who in the trailer, who it's believed was reprising his role as, I think it's Adrian Toomes. He's the Vulture.
Vulture. Yep.
The villain from Tom Holland's first Spider-Man film, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Right.
So it was like, oh my gosh, how they're tying in characters from the Marvel Cinematic Universe into Sony's Spider-Verse, right? It's one thing if it's Spider-Man coming into Marvel Comics, the MCU, it's another thing where suddenly this character from the MCU is going into Sony's Spider-Man universe. So that intrigued me. And then it kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And then it finally was released, and the reviews have not been good, Carrie.
That's exactly why I'm so hesitant to see it. And I have not seen the Venom movies, to be honest. Like this, like, again, I feel like it's like comparable to like DC, where I'm not super into the anti-hero like villain kind of stories. So Venom didn't really appeal to me. Maybe I'll go back and revisit this if, you know, if it's a good experience today. So like, yeah, I'm really interested to see if they tie it into MCU, but I just like the reviews have been so bad for this one that I'm just like, is it really worth seeing it in theaters versus waiting, I don't know.
I had wanted to see it, and then it definitely became, I don't want to see that
quite quickly. And, you know, the thing is, I have kind of a love-hate relationship with Jared Leto as an actor too, or just as a person, really. Like, he does some really great method acting, Dallas Buyers Club, and I mean, House of Gucci, he was great in.
He was great in House of Gucci.
I almost said House of Tucci. So there's that. There's obviously like mixed reviews on him as a person. So it's just, when you hear that kind of stuff, you're like, do I want to support him? Do I not? You know, I don't know. I'm going because why not? whatever. Let's go see this movie. Let's go see what it's about. Let's go see if there's anything interesting to hear about it, you know?
I'm going because you said you wanted to start up the second season and we have to figure out what to watch.
It was a tie between this or Sonic 2.
Which, right, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But I've already seen the first Sonic. You haven't even seen the first Sonic.
No.
And I can tell you, Carrie, after seeing the first Sonic, I don't want to see Sonic 2.
My sister,
but I feel like we're going to have to.
My sister was like, oh, have you showed Will Sonic yet? I'm like, no. Like, he knows the video game, but he's, you know, I didn't know if it was an appropriate movie for a four-year-old. So could be a...
The first one, I don't recall it being, I mean, it's a kid's movie. It is. I mean, I don't remember. Is it PG-13? It might be PG-13, but there's nothing in it that is like...
outrageous. I don't know. Anyway,
that's Sonic. That's for another time.
My kid is now obsessed with the beginning scenes from Top Gun. So the fact that I show him that, I mean, Sonic should be okay. All to say. He's obsessed with planes. He's obsessed with like fighter jets. Something? So
I've never seen Top Gun.
Get out of here.
Legitimately. What? I've never seen it.
Okay, double feature coming up. We're gonna do Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick coming soon.
Yeah, and honestly, it can be and I don't want to see that. And I hate saying that because I know it's like an 80s classic, but it's just never appealed to me. A movie about these pilots. Like, okay.
It's kind of like one of those that I think it didn't do super well in the theater, and it came up as like, I could be completely wrong, I need to look it up, I thought I read that somewhere, but so it'll be interesting to see. I'm definitely interested in seeing the second one again, like
if it ever comes out,
right? Again, controversial actress Tom Cruise, but whatever, at this point I miss going to the movies, so I want to go see movies in the theater. So
well, we're going to go see a movie in the theater right now.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get this over with. Let's see what this is about, Kevin.
Let's skedaddle.
All right. We'll come back shortly with our reactions. And we're back.
We are back.
Oh boy, are we ever back, Kevin?
Carrie, I'm going to just say it right now. That might be the worst movie that we've seen so far. And I'm including Paw Patrol in this. I think Paw Patrol is better than Morbius. Because at least Paw Patrol, like, you kind of know what you're getting into because it's a movie.
Yeah.
This was people just coming on for a paycheck, I guess.
Let's talk like broad, and then we'll get into spoilers for our listeners who haven't seen
listeners. I'll just say right now, it's going to be very spoiler heavy, but really only spoiler heavy if you're like us and you are following closely along with the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how this ties into it. For those of you who are not, then maybe you don't care. But if you do care, you might want to just skip ahead to my fun little questionnaire at the end of this. But we're going to dive a little bit into Morbius and what this all means for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, we might as well just get into it. So if you haven't seen it and you still want to see this, I recommend you don't. And B, I would pause here and then rejoin once you do see it, so you can lament with us. Along with us.
Pull up the Wikipedia,
read
on the movie, and just read the summary, cliff notes, and you'll be good. You'll be golden. Yeah,
better experience than seeing it in theaters. So, okay,
You'll be done a lot sooner. That's
for sure. Yeah. So, literally, I think you and I were talking about this. Overall, the movie was just like, it was weird, like
There was no,
like, it was one, on the one hand, so choppy, and so, like, it felt like it was moving so incredibly fast that I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, the film was terrible.
But on the other hand, I literally wanted to fall asleep because I was so bored. I just, like, I couldn't stop yawning. I felt so bad. But, like, how does a movie do that? How does a movie go so fast that you're like, okay, what's going on? And then I guess you just lose interest halfway and you're kind of like,
I don't know. I don't know what the script was like, but it was, to your point, it was very choppy. It was just, it was a very fast pace. It seemed like they were just trying to get to the end. Like,
there's a lot of information they were trying to squeeze in, but at the same time, they like left a lot out too. So I had questions. I was like, where did Milo's money come from? Like,
why was he called Milo when his name was not actually Milo? Lucien.
Yeah, why did everyone call him that? Like, you know, why? Again, with the Kevin, as you well know, I am 100% on board with suspending reality when it comes to movies, because at some level you have to kind of give it a little give and take and say, like, okay, maybe not a lot will make sense, but overall, you know, the movie experience is what it is. But when you see a movie that just has so much wrong with it, it's really hard to start to stop, like, yourself from that, like, mindset and then start to nitpick every single thing. And at one point I was really I felt bad because I kept leaning over to you and I'm like, well, why is that happening? Or how does that make sense? I'm like, I need to stop doing that because there's just too much to point out, you know?
It didn't make sense. Like, nothing was furthering. I mean, and the things that they were doing to further the plot, it goes back to what you were saying, where you really have to suspend reality. Like, when
the wild shooting in the container ship and in the children's hospital or in the, like, lab where kids are, like, why are, like, you doing
when,
that?
When Morbius is detained and his lawyer, aka his friend Milo, shows up and apparently was not searched beforehand, and so leaves him like this little
a bag of blood
and
the cane.
And I just, it was weird. It did not flow very well. I didn't understand the point of the FBI agents, other than, I guess, comic relief.
Oh,
but even the funny lines were just not funny. Like, I got that they were trying to make a light joke here and there with these,
like,
lines,
like the holy water bit when they went to go interrogate him, and I was just like, why is that?
Yeah, it just wasn't. And then my biggest complaint, of which there are many, but it was really the mid-credits scenes.
Oh boy.
I don't know why they had to do two of them when they could have just put them together, but it was really weird. Like, that's where you get the reintroduction of Michael Keaton's character, Adrian Toomes, the Vulture.
But, like, why? Let's unpack this for a minute, because, like, you know, if so, obviously, like you said in the intro, Vulture was in an MCU movie, right? Tom Holland's first Spider-Man Homecoming. And so why do you think they brought him back for this, or why? Because so, I thought for a minute, like, and I need to go get a refresher. It's like, okay, so what happened in the MCU with Vulture, and then, you know, what is now happening with him appearing in this and this other multiverse? I don't know how they're trying to spin
to answer your question, and this might be because you're not as well versed in the comics as I am, and I'm not, like, saying, like, I'm like super into comics. I didn't grow up on the comics so much, but I'm just aware of it, like, with the animated shows as a kid and just understanding, you know, the extensions of lore. So Spider-Man has this like super villain group called the Sinister Six, and so it seems like what Sony is doing is preparing for a Sinister Six movie where they're trying to get, like, you know, six baddies.
So they're basically, do you think they're basically doing like these standalone evil, like anti-hero movies, and then they're going to come through and do like an Avengers type of
Yeah, it kind of seems situation. Like that's what they're doing. But yeah. What was weird, so to answer your question, so to your other questions that you were asking. So mm-hmm. Adrian James the Vulture in the first movie, he gets defeated, he gets mm-hmm. arrested, mm-hmm. And
that's right,
he gets put away. And so what happens in the first mid-credit scene of Morbius is it's kind of pulling, it's referencing back to the end of No Way Home, the right. latest Spider-Man,
right.
where the multiverse is kind of splitting open.
Right.
All these villains have kind of been coming through and Doctor Strange is trying to help send them back. And so we right. see that happen, right? We see the spell is that everyone forgets that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Right.
And it starts pushing all of these villains back to where they came from. And that's what's weird. Okay, they're going back to where they came from, right? But suddenly, mm-hmm. Michael Keaton's villain from Tom Holland's Avengers MCU Spider-Man verse is now getting thrust into a different universe, which is weird. Like, I don't understand how that works. I thought the idea was, you know, the Green Goblin was going back to, you know, the Tobey Maguire,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, Spider-Verse, and then mm-hmm. you've got Jamie Foxx's Electro going back to
the Andrew Garfield
Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
But now you've got the Vulture, who is in Tom Holland's Spider-Verse, now going back into whatever verse it is that this Venom and this Michael Morbius are part of. And so obviously he goes back there, and as they explain in that mid-credit scene, he doesn't have a record in that universe, right? He's arrested in Tom Holland's MCU Spider-Verse,
right?
For being the villain there, but now he is in the same universe as Venom and as Dr. Michael Morbius, and I guess Spider-Man also exists in that
and
universe.
And essentially, too. Like a free man, because they can't, obviously they don't know why he was arrested, that's what they were alluding to, right?
And then what's also really confusing is the second mid-credit scene, which I guess could have really been combined with the first one.
Yeah.
But suddenly, I guess he gets in touch with Dr. Morbius, and they meet up. And what's weird about that is, he's got his Vulture attire on. And what's confusing about that is how he got the Vulture attire in Homecoming was through Tony Stark and the Chitauri, the villains from the first Avengers movie, that technology. That's how the Vulture came to be. Well, now he's thrust into this other universe as just, you know, his human self. And suddenly he's able to rebuild his exact villain persona without that technology in this universe. And he's meeting up with Morbius, and he's saying that, like, I don't know how I got here, but it's something to do with Spider-Man. And I think people like you and me should be teaming up. And it's sort of like what you were saying. It's kind of alluding to the buildup of, you know, the anti-Avengers, or in this case, it's the Sinister Six. But it boggles my mind, because it's there's no continuity with what. And I get it, because it's Sony's property, right? It's not, they're not really tied so much into the MCU, but it's weird that there's like no real good explanation for why he's there, how he was able to rebuild his Vulture attire when that was so specific to the MCU and the Avengers. It makes no sense.
Well, and also, like, my biggest beef with the whole entire movie is, like, the whole, I guess, moral conundrum that Morbius is in, because when they introduce him, and even in the trailers, I told you this in the theaters, like, I feel like the trailers did a really good job, and again, I know nothing about Morbius. Again, I have no clue, you know, from the comics or any backstory. So the trailers kind of portrayed him as this, as the evil, as the villain, right? But then you watch the movie And you realize he's not, like, he's trying to cure himself. He's trying to cure his friend Milo. They're trying to come up with this cure. He realizes that what he came up with was dangerous, and he tried to prevent. They didn't even show his friend Milo. They didn't even show him stealing the vial, or so I don't know how much he really tried to prevent
Again,
it. But
it's,
like,
it's that weird choppy, like, there's yeah. no real progression. It just right. suddenly he's got the same powers,
right? But you know, it to me, he just didn't really come off as evil or even an anti, like, it just, he seemed like he was trying to do the right thing. You know, if he really, I guess if he really was like carrying that through the movie, he would have killed himself the same way that he killed Milo, because he had two of the vials, right? Like two of the vials of the serum that he created. But he obviously was alive. And then, so that last mid-credit scene where Vulture comes up to him, and it wasn't implied, like there was no, he didn't say like straight out, like, oh, let's go kill Spider-Man. But like, he's like, oh, I'm interested in hearing what you have to say. And I'm like, okay, so you do this like complete 180 of like, now are you a villain now? Like, is that, or are you just like a villain by association? Like, what, how is this your like villain story? How is this like your evil genius story? And like, part of me was thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, so he had this whole experiment where, you know, he was part bat, like part vampire bat, like working with that. And like, if you think about it as like Spider-Man, and Spider-Man had that same kind of like part spider, part human DNA. So maybe there's like a science aspect of it that Vulture was maybe alluding to. Again, I'm kind of like getting ahead of myself when it comes to like what this could be about, but
I think that you're thinking deeper than Sony executives. Honestly, I think it's for them, it's a cash grab, and that they're not doing a decent enough job to really set the foundation for what they want to try and accomplish. And I'm for it. I want them to succeed at it, because I like these comic book movies. I know people have very strong opinions one way or the other. I would like to see a flat, decent Sinister Six, but the fact that Morbius was just not very good, it's a little sus.
It is. I don't know what's gonna happen. Let me tell you, I just had to come home and start Moon Knight, because I really needed that like palate cleanser of like, okay, this is MCU, this is like, you know, we're going back to this is the good stuff, right? Because
I needed some decent programming too, and so I was catching up on Better Call Saul. Morbius.
I don't know if I've ever told you, but I've never seen Breaking Bad. I've never watched.
You and Gabe.
You know what though? I've tried many a time, and I just like, I can't. Like, I couldn't get into it. I couldn't get into it. So
you gotta stick with it.
It's like forever on my list, but it's just something that I can't ever get.
And honestly, Better Call Saul, such a but it's decent kind of implies that it's you know, par. It's a great prequel series. The writing of these shows is incredible. It's the opposite of Morbius. It's good writing, it's good acting, it's good storytelling. There's a lot of, you know, things that call back to other things. Just fantastic programming, and I think that you ought to do yourself the service of seeing Breaking Bad and then seeing
I'll get there eventually. I just haven't been in the right mindset to watch like really serious like program. Like I watch, the last show I watched was Bridgerton, because I just needed it to be like fluffy and romantic and just not about drugs or killing people, you know. Oh my god, hello.
For listeners, because this is an audio platform, Carrie is saying hi to her cat who just hopped up to say hello.
Well, so, and dear listener, if you follow me on social, you would have seen this, but we just we had to put down one of our older cats, and that was very sad, but we ended up adopting two kittens. I say kittens, they're 8 months old, so two young adult cats, and they are just rambunctious. And so the one that just jumped up on my desk was one of the younger ones. My older one knows better. She's behind actually the computer right now. So I'm just living in crazy cat land right now. It's great. Good stuff.
That's cat-tastic.
You're damn right. You're damn right it is.
All right, Carrie. Well, that movie was not entertaining, but you know what is entertaining?
Kevin's quizzes?
That's right. I kind of picked up on doing
back.
That.
They're back.
Towards the end of the last couple of episodes. And I certainly hope that they are fun for the listeners. They're certainly fun for me to put together. And so I'm calling this recurring segment, Six Questions of Separation. Right?
Because recurring segment. I love it.
It's because it's going to be recurring.
Yes.
And it's the last couple of quizzes that I've done, it's been six questions. So I figured let's just kind of do like a 6 degrees of separation, but there's six questions of separation. So it's related to either the movie or a concept of the movie or a theme of the movie that we end up seeing. And these are going to be quizzes. And you know, Carrie, I was telling you earlier today that when I was putting it together, I'm like, this is coming along pretty well, especially because I was kind of putting it, I put this quiz together like today after the movie.
Right.
And you kind of alluded to feeling like you didn't have the mental fortitude for, now, I'm sorry, correct me if I'm wrong, House of Gucci, were you not 6 out of 6?
Listen, I love trivia and I love quizzes. And I think it was the last one we did. Contagion was not so good for me. I think my confidence got kicked down a couple rungs.
Well,
so.
I think I have a belief. I have the confidence in you that you'll do well on this edition of Six Questions of Separation, which I'm calling Fangs for the Memories.
Fangs for the Memories. Okay.
Fangs for the Memories.
All right. Let's
do it. That should help you get you an idea of where we're going with this quiz, the theme of this quiz.
I feel like I need to figure out some like intro music for the quiz segment itself.
Okay, so sure.
I'll have to work on that, but Fangs for the Memories. All right.
All right.
Thanks, Fallout Boy. Okay.
Number one, Dr. Michael Morbius is not the first character from comic books that Jared Leto has portrayed.
Uh-huh.
What villain did he depict in 2016's Suicide Squad? Was it Deadshot, Killer Croc, the Riddler, or the Joker?
I hate you because this is a trick question. You really don't know? It was the Joker.
It was the Joker.
Okay, good. Okay. But you say the Riddler, and I'm just like, what? What?
Well, I started to
second guess myself, but it's the Joker.
It is the Joker.
Okay,
yes.
Good. I did see Suicide Squad. I did see it.
But then you questioned whether or not Jared Leto was the Joker.
But I just had to do a quick little who was Harley Quinn attached to, and it was not the real, it was Joker. So I had to like check myself before I answered. But
before you wrecked yourself?
Yeah, exactly. Don't want to wreck myself in front of all five listeners we have. Right, guys.
speaking of not firsts.
Okay.
Number two, Morbius was not the first movie adaptation of a Marvel Comics character with a thirst for the red stuff. Mahershala Ali is set to portray Blade in an upcoming Marvel Cinematic Universe film, but the character was first seen on the big screen 24 years ago by which actor? Was it Chris Tucker, Denzel Washington, Wesley Snipes, or Will Smith?
Wesley Snipes.
Correct.
Yay!
You're 2 for 2.
Okay, I knew that one actually because I follow a Netflix account and they tweeted a photo of Wesley Snipes' Blade today, and said, "What is Wesley Snipes looking at?" And it, wrong answers only. That was the meme I saw today. So,
oh, how timely.
I know. It's good. And somebody answered, "He's looking at those LA gas prices," which I enjoyed immensely. Anyways.
All right. Question number three.
Yes. On. Yes. Yes, we shall. Keep going.
All right. So as we alluded to earlier in the post, what the hell did we just watch? Michael Keaton returned as Adrian Toomes, aka the Vulture, a role he previously portrayed in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yep.
Keaton, of course, is beloved for his take as the Caped Crusader in Tim Burton's Batman and Batman Returns.
Which I have seen.
Which you have seen, thanks to this this podcast.
Yes.
Which actor will play villain Gore the God Butcher in this summer's Thor Love and Thunder, putting him in rare company with Michael Keaton as an actor to both wear the cowl and be a villain in the MCU? Is it Christian Bale, Ben Affleck, Will Arnett, or Robert Pattinson?
I don't know. Oh my God, I don't know. Okay, can you repeat the second half of that question real quick? I'm thinking.
So, okay, Michael Keaton played the Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming MCU film. He's also beloved for his take as the Caped Crusader in Batman Returns.
Yes. Yep.
Which actor will portray the villain Gore the God Butcher in this summer's Thor Love and Thunder, which puts him in the rare company with Michael Keaton as an actor to both wear the cowl and be a villain in the MCU?
This wordsmithing is just,
you are welcome.
Chef's kiss. Thank you. Love it.
Thank you. I definitely take the time to put these questions together. So, okay, it's an actor who was both Batman and an MCU villain.
Yes.
Is it Christian Bale, Ben Affleck, Will Arnett, or Robert Pattinson?
I'm going to say not Robert Pattinson. I'm going to say not Will Arnett because he was Batman in the Lego movies.
Okay.
Which was a good pull.
You got my trick answer.
Yeah. I'm also going to say no to Ben Affleck because he was Batman in DC. So I don't see him making a crossover to the MCU. Well, I haven't seen the Christian bit. He was Dark Knight. So it's not like he was in like the Batman and Superman movies, which I have not seen. So like my weird like deduction leads me to Christian Bale.
And that is correct.
No. Yes. What?
You're 3 for 3.
My weird logic is paying off. This is crazy.
You're halfway through. And
yeah. The Will Arnett's a good one. That's a tricky one, but yeah. Yeah.
Are you ready for number 4?
I think so. Hello.
We're gonna continue on this Batman theme for the next couple.
Oh no! Like I haven't seen any of these.
Well, okay.
Why do this?
It's like Batman adjacent.
Okay. All right.
All right. Gary Oldman.
Oh my God.
Played Commissioner James Gordon, an ally to the infamous comic book hero Batman.
Yes.
In notable director Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, which we will see.
Which I have not seen.
We will see it in an upcoming. I don't want to see that.
Oh boy.
So Gary Oldman played Commissioner Gordon in those films, but he also played infamous vampire Count Dracula, in which notable director's 1992 gothic horror adaptation, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Ooh.
Was it John Carpenter, Francis Ford Coppola, Guillermo del Toro, Martin Scorsese?
Okay, can you repeat the...
Yes. So Gary Oldman played Commissioner Gordon, an ally to infamous comic book hero Batman.
Right.
And he was in Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy.
Right.
Okay, Gary Oldman also played Count Dracula in which notable director's 1992 gothic horror adaptation, Bram Stoker's Dracula? Was it John Carpenter, Francis Ford Coppola, Guillermo del Toro, or Martin Scorsese?
It's not the last two. That's for sure. I'm trying to think. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
It's not bad. I actually saw it for an English course in college.
Ooh.
Weirdly enough.
I did read Dracula. It's one of my favorite classics. It's a good one.
Is it one of your favorite classics?
My favorites. Too? Yeah, it's my favorites.
Does it taste like iron? Blood, flavor of blood is okay, never mind.
I got you. I just didn't want to give you that laugh, but you got it anyways. I don't think John Carpenter did a Dracula. But I don't know if Francis Ford, I don't know. This is going to be a complete guess on my part.
Okay.
I would say Francis Ford Coppola is more likely to have done a Dracula than John Carpenter. I know he's done horror, but I don't know if it's like classic horror. Okay, B, final answer.
Carrie, you are 4 for 4. Francis Ford Coppola.
No!
Bram Stoker's Dracula. Okay,
putting it on my list. Oh my gosh.
It's pretty good.
I didn't know. You know.
You've got, it's got a good cast, right? Gary Oldman is Dracula, but then you've got Keanu Reeves in it. You've got Winona Ryder in it.
No.
You've got really? Anthony Hopkins in it.
Keanu and Winona? What am I missing out on? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. You got me. Sold.
All right. We need to
feature Keanu on, and I don't want to see that too. I don't know which one, but we'll have to do one. I haven't seen John Wick, so.
Do you want to see John Wick?
No.
Oh, I have seen John Wick, and I would see it again.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't bad.
Well, it could be a good one. Okay.
All right. So, along with, you're going to be seeing the Dark Knight trilogy that's in one of our upcoming Batmans. You also will get to look forward to seeing George Clooney as Batman in an upcoming recording of I Don't Want to See That.
I forgot he was Batman. Oh no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh no. Okay.
With the bat nipples.
I look forward to knowing what that is. Oh my God.
Did you know that he also starred in a movie featuring vampires? Do you know what that movie was? Was it Interview with a Vampire, The Lost Boys, Underworld, or From Dusk Till Dawn?
I did not know this, first of all. I don't think it's Interview with a Vampire.
Okay.
What were my other choices?
Your other choices were The Lost Boys, Underworld, or From Dusk Till Dawn?
I've never seen Underworld, never seen From Dusk Till Dawn. I've seen The Lost Boys, but it's been a long time. Don't think it's The Lost Boys. I want to say it. I'm going to guess. It's a total guess. I'm going to guess From Dusk Till Dawn. I have no clue.
5, 4, what? 5. You've never seen From Dusk Till Dawn?
No. No, I haven't.
It's so good.
What year did that come out?
Early 90s, I want to say.
I got to write these down.
It's so good. It's George Clooney. It's Quentin Tarantino. I think Quentin Tarantino wrote it. Robert Rodriguez directed it. Harvey Keitel's in it. Salma Hayek's in it. It's so great because the way that it starts off, you have no idea where it's... You think it's going one way.
Yeah.
The way that it begins.
Yeah.
And then it just goes off the rails, cuckoo bananas, and it's so good. Let me know when you want to watch that, because I would watch it. And it doesn't have to be, and I don't want to see that unless you don't want to see it, but it's really good.
Oh, man. Interview with a Vampire is just so good. That one's a great one. I love that movie. See? Okay. Now we have to watch that one. Come on. Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt.
I know.
Maybe Kirsten Dunst. Like, come on. It's good. Good nostalgia.
All right, Carrie. You are 5 for 5.
I can't believe this.
This last one, I won't be surprised if you don't get it, but at the same time, I feel like this is an easier one, but then I thought the last question was easy and you hadn't seen it. I thought the Thor Love and Thunder one was going to be easy. You didn't know that one. So who knows, but
just really good at guessing today.
I think you have a shot at this one. I think you have a chance to repeat your House of Tucci score with Thanks for the Memories.
Yes.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes. And this is by far more entertaining than Morbius will ever be. Just saying. Thanks for the Memories. Just really bringing up my day. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Carrie. Which influential vampire masterpiece of the silent era is marking its 100th anniversary this year, the year of our Lord, 2022?
Okay.
Is it Vampire, Dracula, Nosferatu, or Let the Right One In?
I'm trying to remember which one Bela Lugosi was in. He was in Dracula. I think he was in Dracula, but I think he was in the 30s. So no to that one. My first instinct is Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. I think that was a silent film. And I think it was in the 20s. I don't know. What was the first one?
Vampire. It's spelled Vampyr.
I don't know that one. I don't know the last one. I'm going to say Nosferatu. That's the only one I really have an idea of, like, the time frame. And I think it was in the 20s. So. Ooh, Did I get it wrong?
Carrie, 6 for 6.
Yeah.
You got it. Nosferatu came out in 1922.
Yeah, that's right. It's, oh my gosh,
if you remember, I never saw it, but I remember that it was kind of like a pop culture thing, because I know who Nosferatu is. It's that bald vampire. Yep. With a really long bangs. Nosferatu is 100 years old this year,
and I feel like I watched part of it or some of it in like a high school pop culture class,
probably. Yeah.
And that's what stuck with me ever since. Like, it was that so mm-hmm. And I knew it was in the 20s. I just didn't remember what year, but that was a wild guess too, because I didn't know the other two. Yeah, redemption. I'm feeling the redemption from my contagion fail of a quiz. So thanks for the memories, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Ba-dum-bum. Awesome.
It was, let's just say this game felt like it was high stakes to you, but you came out on top.
Oh, you're so good. The dad jokes just keep coming. So, in conclusion, do not go see Morbius.
That is the conclusion. Do not go see Morbius. It's not worth your time. It's
definitely not. But stay tuned, because I'm kind of curious as to what their next step is. Like, I really kind of want to know what, you know, where they're taking it, in some weird morbid fascination of mine. And I guess I should watch the Venom movies. Maybe.
The first one.
Because there was a callback to that at No Way Home, correct?
Yes. So. Yeah. It wasn't great, the first one. The second one I kind of want to see, only because Woody Harrelson's in it, and I know that it references, I wish I had seen it before Spider-Man No Way Home, because I know that the post credits or mid credits scene of Venom Let There Be Carnage, which is the title of the sequel, I know that. it references what transpires in Spider-Man No Way Home, and that totally makes sense by the mid credit scene that we see in Spider-Man No Way Home, where we see Venom, Eddie Brock, show up in the MCU, for like a brief moment.
Yeah.
So I do kind of want to see that one. I wanted to see it in theaters in last year, and then I just never did. So
not a priority, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But you know what is a priority?
What's that?
This podcast. So, dear listener, please stick around. Thanks. First of all, thanks for hanging with us. It's probably been a minute since you heard us. So we appreciate you coming back and revisiting us in our second season. Woo, official. follow along if you want to on our social media, which we've also been neglecting, but, you know, hope to pick back up at IDWTSDpod, mostly on Instagram, but we do have, I'm about to delete our Facebook. I don't know why we need that, but Instagram, Twitter, possibly TikTok, who knows?
We'll see where. And where can people email us with their movie suggestions if they have any?
IDWTSDpod@gmail.com.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, it's been great. It was great seeing a movie with you today.
Too bad it couldn't have been a great movie, but
I know we'll get there. What's next up on our plate? What do you think? Is it finally Batman again? Are we going to do it this time?
That we talked about, seeing Sonic. We could go see Sonic. Yeah,
Sonic too. So, hey, let us know what you want us to see next. Maybe we'll do a poll.
Should we do the Sonic movies next, or should we do Joel Schumacher's Batman movies next?
Yeah, that's a good poll.
Put that on an Instagram poll and let's see what our five listeners say.
Yeah, because we really are here for the people. So
for the people.
All right, y'all. We'll catch you next time.
Deuces.
Bye. Where'd you go? Did you? Was that really necessary?
I didn't mean to click leave. I always get that fucking pop about there was a recording in progress.
And I think you did it to be funny. I'm like,
no, I was gonna click on got it, and then but they make leave meeting like the big blue one. So like that's the like there's the it's more of the call to action. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like I'm gonna pick the highlighted one. Oh, the blue, and then all of a sudden like the meeting's gone. I'm like, God damn it!
And we're back.
We're back.
Oh, hey guys. How's it going?
Wait, are we recording right now?
Yeah. Oh, that's totally our intro. Are you kidding me? That's totally our intro.
I thought we always start with you're listening to a new episode. I know, or another
but
episode.
No, that I'm taking that clip of you just explaining the big CTA of the leave meeting button, and I'm gonna put it in God there somewhere. So
damn it.